I'm too old.
The Life of Mary Suttis. The human story of one woman's love and how it affected her life and the lives of those she loved. Mary Suttis is brought to you each weekday at this time by the makers of Ipana toothpaste. Often, you'll see a good-looking girl, fashionably dressed, with lovely hair and skin, who is beautiful until she smiles. It's pathetic when such pretty lips part only to reveal a smile that has been ruined because of neglected teeth and gums. Yet that girl probably had her warning, a trace of pink on her toothbrush. Pink toothbrush, the sign that her gums were becoming flabby and unhealthy, a condition that may lead to many mouth disorders, dull, dingy teeth, and a smile that has lost its beauty. That girl should have seen a dentist and followed his advice. And that's what you should do if you see pink on your toothbrush. But your dentist will probably tell you that nothing serious is wrong, and he'll probably add what many other dentists have told their patients, that the soft foods you eat these days don't give your gums sufficient exercise. So you should massage them with Ipana, a toothpaste made specially for massage as well as for cleaning your teeth. This gives your gums more exercise, so it helps make them firmer and healthier, your teeth brighter, your smile more attractive. But for goodness sake, don't wait for pink toothbrush before you start Ipana, I-P-A-N-A, Ipana and massage. Get a tube of Ipana and start using it tonight. First, brush your teeth and see how they gleam. Then put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and quickly, gently massage your gums. And feel the very first time you use Ipana that way, a stimulating tang. A feeling that this famous Ipana technique is helping to give you better oral health, and that's the very basis of sound teeth and a more beautiful, more alluring smile. So by all means, get an economical tube of Ipana toothpaste from your druggist today. And now, the life of Mary Suttis. If the truth were only known, there is probably another man in every woman's life. A man who loves her deeply, sincerely, who would have married her had she only shared that love with him. So it is with Mary Suttis and Dr. John always has and probably always will love Mary, but Mary has never shown the same type of love and affection for him. Yes, she loves him as a true friend, but not in the way John would have her. Yesterday, when John was discussing her husband's situation, she accidentally stumbled into the young doctor's arms. For a moment, John lost all sense of balance. Mary in his arms was too much. But then, as always, he came to his senses, and in doing so, told Mary that it was very important that Danny Stratford be brought over to their side, so that a trial postponement for Max would be a certainty. It was obvious why John made that remark. It was obvious that he feared himself and the love he holds in his heart for Mary Suttis, wife of Max Sanders. Before joining Mary Suttis, let's look in at the Prousts for a moment. Mr. and Mrs. Gerald Proust are finding in Mary and Max's trouble an opportunity to gain social and business leadership in the town, and who, from all indications, are taking every advantage of it as quickly as they can.
Gerald, pass me that box of chocolates over there on the table.
Henrietta, aren't you fat enough as it is?
Fat? Why, do you know I've lost 2 pounds in the past 6 months? Why, I'm not fat at all, Gerald.
Just one person's opinion. Here's the chocolates.
Thank you. Let's see what's a good out here. Gerald, are you doing anything more about getting into Sanders' interest?
Yes, Henry. Now go eat your chocolates and read my paper.
Well, if I didn't push you along, you'd never be anything. I suppose you know that Reverend Blaine saw fit to throw Mary Southern out of his house.
Henrietta, for heaven's sake, stop talking with a mouthful of chocolates. It annoys me.
Well, I don't care whether it annoys you or not. Did you hear what I said about Mary Southern?
Yes, yes. You complained to the Reverend about taking sides with Mary Southern, giving her a home for her and her babies, and he's made her move. That's wonderful. Now let me read.
Well, prove one thing, Gerald, that the Prousts are at last the guiding influence of Sanders. Now, all you have to do is to gain control of the Sanders interest, and we can change the name of the town.
Henrietta, for heaven's sake, keep quiet just for a little while. Plenty of time to change the name of this town after I'm a leading citizen.
Well, you have no doubt about it, have you?
Well, no, but David seemed a little worried about this young Danny Stratford. I'm trying to figure out some way we can be sure that Danny Stratford doesn't change his testimony. Bring over to Mary Southern, the Reverend, and this quack Dr. Benson.
Well, if you just confide in me once in a while, I might have something to suggest.
How can you think of anything if Davis and I can't? Can't go to the boy and just offer him money. Not that kind. No. You've got to think of something better than that. Something more subtle.
Well, you never could be subtle.
No. Henrietta, don't make me lose my temper.
Oh, shut up, Jeff. Why is it Danny Stratford against Max Tilley when his father and all his friends are with him? What's the reason?
Max's sister is his wife, Phyllis Stratford. She had a baby just at the time Max became involved in this gambling business. Danny thinks the excitement caused her a lot of trouble. The young girl may never walk again. Pitiful thing. Wonderful thing to tear the jury's heart out, you know.
His wife. Is our famous Dr. Benson attending her?
Certainly.